Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Osho Radio brings you 1 hour of relaxation and meditation.
منو از من به سمت تو هدایت میکنن دستات، ولی کن قصه دیگه روایت میکنن چشمات. آخه تا کی بشینم تا تو تصمیمت نهاییشه، تا بلکه قلب خوشبینم به سمت تو راهیشه. با دست پس میزنی جونم، با پا پیش میکشی، اما تن این رابطه مونده توی دستای تو تنها. همش حس میکنم نیستی، با این که پیشمی هر با، با این که پیش هم هستیم به هم قریبه ایم انگار. تا اینجاش پا به پا اومد، تنه مونده به تو تسلیم. یا باید مال من باشی، یا باید رد بشی از من. اگه هم بغض من نیستی، به این آتیش نزن دامن. به تو اندازه یه سهم همه دنیا سیدم، یه جای قصمون لنگه، یه جاییش کاملا مبهم. تمام سعیمو کردم که تا دلگیر نشیم از هم. نه راه پس برام باقی، نه راه پیش دیگه مونده. تمام با تو رفتن ها منو از جاده ترسونده، منو از جاده ترسونده. با دست پس میزنی جونم، با پا پیش میکشی، اما تن این رابطه مونده توی دستای تو تنها. همش حس میکنم نیستی، با این که پیشمی هر با، با این که پیش هم هستیم به هم قریبه ایم انگار. با این که شام هستیم به هم قریبه ایم انگار.
Today's discourse is from the series The Goose Is Out, number 7. Osho is talking about religion. There are still many religions in the world, and they all carry a very heavy past. There's a big difference between religion and religiousness. Religiousness is being experienced in the moment, and meditation, Osho is explaining, can lead you to this experience. In this program, we play a small part of the discourse. The full discourse you can easily download from the website oshoworld.com.
Not to ask for anything in our prayers. Please explain. religion has a long history. Much of it is only a hangover of the past. The real religion, the essential religion, is possible only now, because man has come of age. The past of humanity was very childish. Not childlike, remember, but childish. And it was bound to be so. It was inevitable, unavoidable. So I am not complaining about it. I am simply stating the fact that whenever you think of religion, never think in terms of the past. Otherwise you will have a totally wrong orientation. Think more in terms of the present. When you think of the theory of relativity, you don't bring Newton in. You know, he did contribute something to scientific growth, but his days are over. We are grateful, whatsoever he did, whatsoever he could. But with Albert Einstein, Newton is finished. He will remain only a footnote in the history of scientific growth. The same is true about religion, about every human endeavor. When you are going to the moon in a spaceship, certainly the man who invented the bullock car has contributed immensely. Without the bullock cart, there would have not been any possibility for the spaceship. But you don't go on worshipping the man who invented the bullock car. You don't even remember his name. And while you are involved with a spaceship, it is better to forget all about the bullock cars. They are not going to help. Their mechanism is out of date. But about religion, we are not so rational. About religion, we are very emotional. About religion, we are not so scientific. About religion, we are very illogical, superstitious. Religion has passed through two phases. The first phase was of prayer. That is the bullock cart era of religion. The second phase is meditation. That is the spaceship age of religion. They are totally different dimensions. Their sources are different. Their workings are different. their whole milieu is different. And one should not get confused between the two. There is much confusion around the world. So let me explain to you and be very patient, because we are all conditioned by the religions of prayer. Their weight is heavy. Every human being is crushed under a mountainous weight. And the work for a master has become more and more difficult. Because it is not only a question of helping you to be meditative. Before that can start, much has to be negated in you. Much rubbish has to be shoveled, much dirt has to be cleaned. The whole past has to be dismantled. Only then you will be able to open your wings to the essential, mature, adult dimension of religion. Prayer means fear. Hence all the old religions are fear-oriented. Their God is nothing but a creation of their fear. It is not a discovery. It is imagination. It is projection. They are full of fear. They need a father figure to protect them from all kinds of fear. And there are thousands of fears in life. There are anxieties, anguishes, problems to be encountered, unsolvable puzzles. Unbridgeable gaps, and man is surrounded by a great darkness. He needs a protective hand. He wants somebody as a security, as a safety. Each child is brought up by the parents. His first experience with the parents becomes very decisive, because he is protected, comforted, consoled. All his needs are fulfilled. He has not to worry. He has no responsibilities. He is taken care of. He can rely on the parents. But this is not going to have forever so. Sooner or later he will have to stand on his own feet. The moment he stands on his own feet, a great trembling arises in him. Now who is going to save him? Now who is going to console him? And the problems go on becoming bigger and bigger every day. And as life progresses, it starts coming closer to death, which is the ultimate problem to be solved. And there is great anxiety about death. Each child starts falling back. Each child starts getting to the childhood estate. Because that seems to be the only part of his life where there was not a single problem at all. This is regression. This regression has been thought as prayer. It is not prayer. Then he falls on his knees and he starts praying to a God. It is not accidental that all the religions call God the Father. Yes, there are few other religions which call God the Mother, which is the same. In matriarchal societies, God is the Mother. In patriarchal societies, God is the Father. One thing is certain, that God has to be the ultimate parent. And then every community, society, civilization invents his own God. They say God created man in his own image. That is absolutely wrong. Man has created God in his own image. And because there are so many kinds of people in the world, there are so many kinds of images of God. But that image is your fabrication. And you are praying before your own invention. Prayer is really one of the most absurd things possible. It is as if you are praying before a mirror, seeing your own face, kneeling down before your own image, asking for favors, and there is nobody in the mirror except your reflection. All prayers, prayer as such is juvenile. It is regressive. It will hurt you. But I cannot help. I have to say the truth as it is. I have to go sometimes a little roundabout. Just not to hurt you too much. I don't see that there is any God who created the world. I certainly experience a quality of godliness in existence. But it is a quality, not a person. It is more like love. More like silence, more like joy, less like a person. You are never going to meet God and say hello to him. How are you? And I have been looking for you for thousands of years. Where have you been hiding? God is not a person, but only a presence. And when I say presence, be very attentive. Because you can go on listening according to your own conditioning. Even you can make presence something objective. You have again fallen into the same trap. God is a presence at the innermost core of your being. It is your own presence. It is not a meeting with somebody else. Martin Buber, one of the great Jewish thinkers of this age, has written that prayer is a dialogue between I and thou. There is no thou. Hence the dialogue is impossible. All prayers are monologues. And because there is no thou, there is no I either. They can exist only together. They cannot exist in separation. How can you imagine the existence of I without thous? Thous are needed to demark the line of the I. But Martin Buber, in a sense, is right. He is defining the whole past of religion. He himself is burdened with the past. He could never get out of his Jewish skin. He remained encaged. He remained a Jew. A nice, beautiful person of great intellectual capacities, but still in bondage. The Jewish idea of I and thou is a basic pattern for the prayer. Without I, you cannot pray, because there is nobody to pray. Without thou, you cannot pray, because whom to pray? And if you are not asking for anything, then for what you are praying? Prayer means asking. It is a demand. Howsoever camouflaged, howsoever subtly hidden behind beautiful garbs and masks, but it is asking. You are demanding. You are saying, give me this, give me that. So when I say there is no God, remember it, I really mean that existence is enough unto itself. It needs no creator. There is creativity, but no creator. The division between the creator and the creativity has to be dissolved. Only then you will be able to rise to the peaks of meditation. Otherwise you will remain confined into the childish patterns of the past, kneeling down before images in temples, in synagogues, in churches, and doing all kinds of foolish things. But those foolish things are being done by thousands of others. So you never become aware that they are foolish. When the crowd is with you, when the multitudes are with you, you feel on safe ground. You feel shaky only when you are alone. Meditation is the experience of aloneness. Only very courageous people can enter into that dimension. Prayer is a crowd phenomenon. It is part of the collective mind. And when you are in a crowd, certainly a great confidence arises in you. It is infectious. Because so many people cannot be wrong. But I would like to tell you, it is always the case that the multitudes are bound to be wrong. Only rarely an individual is right, because truth is such a pinnacle, such a peak, like the Everest. You cannot go to the Everest with a multitude. There is not space enough. Only one person can stand on the highest peak alone. Meditation is the experience of being totally alone, utterly alone. Prayer is a crowd phenomenon. It is mob psychology. Hence, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Mohammedanism, all have remained religions of prayer. Even two religions which tried to become religions of meditation fell back. Buddhism and Jainism. Two religions tried to be religions of meditation. But only Buddha and Mahavir, two individuals, could manage. The moment they died, their religions started falling back to the old regressive pattern. They all became religions of prayer. Now Jainas are praying before Mahavira. That is even worse. Because Christians can have some support from Jesus. Jainas have no support from Mahavira. Buddhists, millions of Buddhists are praying before the statue of Buddha. That is ridiculous. Unbelievable. Because Buddha's last words were, "Be a light unto yourself." And it is a strange phenomenon that the Buddha's statues were the first to be made in the world. His statues were the first to be installed in the temples. There are temples of Buddha with thousands of statues. One temple in China is called 10,000 Buddha's temple. 10,000 statues of Buddha in one temple. The whole mountain has been carved into a temple. If Buddha comes back, he will start beating his head. He will commit suicide. The first thing to be remembered, I believe in an orgasmic universe. There are not divisions as creator and the created, as the higher and the lower, as the sacred and the profane, as this and that. I believe in one organism. Existence has not to be thought in terms of a painter and his painting. Because the moment painting is finished, the painter and painting become two separate entities. Existence has to be thought only in terms of a dancer and his dance. You cannot separate them. The dancer and the dance are one. And at the highest peak of dancing, the dancer disappears into the dance. There is no dancer, but only dance. That is the experience of meditation. When you dissolve yourself into existence, when the dewdrop slips into the ocean and becomes the ocean, and vice versa is also true. The ocean slips into the dewdrop and becomes the dewdrop. They cannot be conceived as two entities anymore. So when I say God is not a presence, I mean He is not anything outside you. Neither a person nor a presence, as thought in the language of objectivity. When I say God is a presence, I simply mean He is the innermost core of your being. That silent core. That space where nobody else can enter in you. That private, that absolute intimate virgin space. Your interiority is God. But the word God can create trouble for you. Words are very troublesome. Because words carry the past. They are made by the past. They are overburdened by the past. Any word is dangerous because its meaning comes from the past. And for me the problem is to use the words which come from the past because there are no other words. But to give them such a twist and turn that they can give you a little insight of a new meaning. The words are old. The bottles are old. But the wine is new. I teach you a totally different kind of religiousness. It is of meditation. You are not to worship. You are not to pray. You have to go deep within your own self. A journey of self-discovery. It is not a question of discovering God. Why you are after God? What wrong He has done to you? Forgive Him. Forget Him. The first and the only inquiry worth is to know who am I within this body, mind mechanism. What is this consciousness? This miracle of consciousness, this miracle of awareness has to be discovered. You have to peel your being as one peels an onion. Go on peeling. You will find layers within layers. And finally, when all layers are discarded, eliminated, you will find in your hands pure nothingness, emptiness. That is your essential core. Then you are as infinite as the universe itself, as eternal as timelessness itself. Thank you.
In this program, you're listening to music by Manish Vijas, by Hatef, by Anant Vicha, by Deuter and Sattva. Just at the end of the program, we will give you a small meditation about going inside, as was given by Osho himself. I hope you enjoyed the program and will be with us again next week. Take care and namaste.
Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim. Tadare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim dim dim. Dim tadare dim tadare tare tani dim.
तो है सांसों की सरगम, इश्क दिलों का दर्पण है।
Eyes closed, see your inner being in details, thus see your true nature. Eyes closed, close your eyes, but this closing is not enough. Total closure means close your eyes and stop their movements. Otherwise, the eyes will continue to see something which is of the outside. Even with closed eyes, you will see things, images of things. Actual things are not there, but images, ideas of things, collected memories. Now they will start flowing. They are also outside. So still your eyes are not totally closed. Totally closed eyes mean nothing to see. Understand the difference. You can close your eyes, that's easy. Everyone closes every moment. In the night you close your eyes, but that will not reveal the inner nature to you. Close your eyes so that nothing remains to be seen. No outside object, no inside image of outside objects. Just a blank. Darkness, as if you have gone suddenly blind. Not blind only to reality, but to the dream reality also. One has to practice it. A long period will be needed. It cannot be done suddenly. You will need a long training. Close your eyes anytime you feel it is easy. And you have time, close your eyes. And then, stop all movements of the eyes inside. Don't allow any movement. Feel. Don't allow any movement. Stop all movement of the eyes as if they have become stones. And then remain in that stony state of eyes. Don't do anything. Just remain there. Suddenly, someday, you will become aware that you are looking inside yourself.